God bless you. Hey, Joe, God bless you.
Bless you, too.
You can take your Bibles tonight and go to Romans chapter 5, please. Tonight we're going to look at a subject entitled Biblical Typology. The study of typology is necessary to understand certain scriptures in the Word of God. The word type comes from the Greek word typos. And a biblical type is represented in the scriptures as a person, an event, an institution, a place, or an office. I'm going to put this up on the board. So, a type is represented as a person, an event, an institution, a place, and the fifth one we'll look at is an office. These are the categories that I'm familiar with. There may be others, but these I can share with you tonight. A type is a person, an event, an institution, a place, or an office. In the redemptive history of the Old Testament, that prefigures a corresponding but greater reality in the New Testament. Let me say that again. A biblical type is a person, event, institution, place, or office in the redemptive history of the Old Testament that prefigures, foreshadows, a corresponding but greater reality in the New Testament. One of the things that you have to understand about biblical type, hence its name, is that biblical types are set forth from Scripture. Okay, they're from the Word of God. That's where we get biblical types. You're in Romans chapter 5, and in verse 14, the scripture says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to what?
Come.
That was to come." The word figure here in Romans 5:14 comes from the Greek word typos. Typos. Now a typos is a mark of a stroke or a blow. It's a print. It's a figure formed by a blow or an impression, a figure and an image. Now, before we had word processors and computers, we had something that was called a typewriter.
Yes.
And on a typewriter, you used to have this little ribbon, and you had a whole bunch of letters and other gizmo signs and stuff. And you would punch a key, and the key would come up, and it'd hit the ribbon, and then the ribbon would hit the paper. And then the impression of the letter that you struck the ribbon with was left on the paper. That was the type. Okay? Romans 5:14 says, "Who is the figure of him that was to come?" He's the figure. He's the typos. It was the type of him that was to come. Who was him that was to come?
Christ.
Talking about Jesus. Talking about Jesus. See, Adam was a type of Christ in the Bible. One of the things you'll see as we begin to study biblical types is that types are generally prophetic. They point towards the future. They look forward to something to take place in the future. That's what a type does. A type is thus a copy, a pattern, or a model that signifies an even greater reality. It's to point to that. The greater reality to which a type points and in which it finds its fulfillment is referred to as an antitype. An antitype. Adam is referred to as a type of Christ. When Adam came on the scene, he foreshadowed the fact that Jesus Christ would come later. The type is prophetic of the antitype. Adam was the type. Jesus was the antitype. Now, the word antitype can be confusing because one of its meanings is the opposite or contrasting, anti. However, like many words that have different meanings in our dictionary, the word antitype also has another meaning. If you go into Webster's, you can look this up. It says that an antitype is the latter of an associated biblical pair. In the Bible, somebody or something considered as being foreshadowed by or having striking similarities to an earlier person, thing, or type. That's what the antitype is. The Greek for antitype would be antitupos. Okay. In Romans 5, there's a comparison being made between Adam and Jesus Christ. The comparison simply is that Adam is the head of humanity, just as Jesus Christ is the head of the new humanity. Just as Adam was the head of a global human humanity, Jesus is the head of a new spiritual humanity. Now, I told you that a type is a person, an event, an institution, or an office, so forth, in the redemptive history of the Old Testament that prefigures a corresponding but greater reality in the New Testament. Here we see that Adam was a type. He was a type of Christ. This is an example of a type, Adam, being a historical person. Okay? You have Adam, the type. You have Christ, the antitype, the fulfillment, the answer. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, please. Deuteronomy 18. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, it says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." Verse 18. "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him." Now look at Acts chapter 3, please. Prophet here that it's talking about is Moses. "I will raise up a prophet like unto thee." It's talking about Moses. And it's talking about something in the future. So Moses foreshadowed something in the future. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 19, it says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Verse 20. "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." Okay? So who's going to send Jesus Christ? God is. He's going to send him back. There's the promise. "Whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitutions of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Here again we see the type and the antitype, or the answer to the prophecy. Moses was a type that represented Christ. However, Jesus was the antitype. He was the promised one. Here we have another example of a type being an historical person. The historical person here that was the type would be who?
Moses.
And the antitype is who?
Jesus
Christ. Jesus Christ. The greater reality to which a type points and in which it finds its fulfillment here is Jesus Christ. Okay? Biblical types can also refer to an office. We saw they can refer to a person, but biblical types can also refer to an office. In Acts 3, in verse 22, it says once again, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a what?
Prophet.
A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Acts 3:22 and Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 and 18, that which we read, not only refer to a biblical type as a historical person, which would be Moses, the type, Jesus Christ, the antitype, Moses, the historical person, Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of that. It not only refers to that, but it foreshadows the antitype and refers to the historical office foreshadowing the antitype. And the historical office here, comparing Acts and Deuteronomy, is exactly that. That office of a what?
Prophet.
A prophet, a gift ministry. That God would raise up a what?
Prophet.
A prophet. So we see that a biblical type could be represented by a historical person, such as Adam or Moses. We also saw that a biblical type can be represented by a historical office, such as a what?
Prophet.
Prophet. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, please. In Hebrews 10, verse 1, it says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, it's a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto what?
Perfect.
Perfect. The law had a shadow. It foreshadowed something. It foreshadowed some good thing to come. Remember I told you that types are prophetic? Point to the future. The law, including the ceremonial washings and offerings of the law, was a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing. In Hebrews 10, in verse 11, we read, and every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are what?
Sanctified.
Sanctified. The law, including the ceremonial washings and offerings of the law, was a type. It was a foreshadowing of that which would come. It pointed to the antitype. the answer or the end of the law. And that was who? Jesus Christ. Here we see that a biblical type can be represented as a historical institution. The law and the washings of the law, the ceremonies and everything that went along with it. Okay? That was a biblical type. But that pointed to a much greater reality that was in the future that came. And that was who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The Romans chapter 10. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that what?
Believeth.
For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. So Moses was back in the Old Testament, and he said this. But the righteousness which is of what?
Faith
speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
That shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever shall believe on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich upon all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Shall be saved. Look at Romans, verse 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what?
The word of God.
The word of God. Galatians chapter 3. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23.
Galatians or Romans?
I'm sorry, Galatians 3. Thank you. Galatians 3:23 says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. See? But before faith came. That does not mean there was not faith before Galatians 3:23. It tells you exactly what it means in the verse. What it means is, before faith came, we were shut up under the law until the faith which should afterwards be what?
Revealed.
It was a new faith that would afterward be revealed. It was the faith of who? Jesus Christ. You can read that in Galatians. There was plenty of faith in the Old Testament. There was plenty of faith in the Gospels. But there was not the faith of Jesus Christ until the day of Pentecost. You see? That's the faith it's talking about. But before faith came, before Pentecost came, before the new birth came, before it was available to be born again, that's all what it's saying. We were kept under the law. Wherefore, verse 24, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by who?
Faith.
Faith. But after faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. The law foreshadowed that which was to come. That which was to come and fulfilled the law and ended the law was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made faith available. You understand? The type and the antitype. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And there's no divisions. The law pointed to the antitype, the answer, or the end of the law, Jesus Christ. And here we see an illustration that a biblical type is represented as a historical institution, the law and those things that go along with the law. So we see that a biblical type is represented as a historical person, historical institution, and a office, a historical office in that particular context of Moses being compared to as a prophet and Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10 again, please. Verse 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. I want to read you that out of the New Living. The New Living of Hebrews 10:1 reads, the old system in the law of Moses was only a shadow of the things to come, not the reality of the good things Christ has done for us. The sacrifices under the old system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. Look at chapter 9 of Hebrews, please. Chapter 9. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for what? For us. See, I knew this last week when I shared this with you, but I didn't want to give it to you because I didn't have enough time to develop it. The holy places made with hands were only figures. They were only figures or types that illustrated the true. The holy places made with hands refer to the tabernacle and the dressings of the tabernacle and the functions in the tabernacle. God gave Moses the revelation and he said, make it after the copy of what I have here in heaven. And so the holy places made with hands were only figures or types that illustrated the true. The type is a copy. It's a pattern or a model that signifies an even greater reality. The tabernacle was only a copy, but it signified a greater reality to come. Here we see that the writer of Hebrews refers to the antitype as the heavenly sanctuary. And in this particular case, we see that a type is represented as a what? A place. A place. The holy places made with hands was a type. There were only figures that illustrate the what? The true. The antitype. Verse 23, we read that. It is necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. I explained that to you last week. Okay? For Christ does not enter into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear into the presence of God for us. I told you that Adam's sin touched heaven. And that when the high priest entered for this into the Holy of Holies to sacrifice at the Day of Atonement for the sins of the people, Christ didn't do that down here in the tabernacle. Christ went into heaven itself, took his own blood, and offered it once and for all. Remember in Romans 5:14, I taught you that the word figure, who is a figure of him that was to come, was the word tupos. In Hebrews 9:24, it says, for Christ has not entered into the holy places that is made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. The word figures in verse 24 is from the Greek word antitupos. It's the antitype. See? Which are the figures of the true, but in the heaven itself. The antitype or antitupos is a counterpart. Strong says it's something in the messianic times which answers to the type. It's the answer to the type. It's associated. It's an illustration. The one illustrates a greater reality. The tabernacle was a type of the true sanctuary in heaven. That's what it was to point to. Look at Leviticus chapter 23. So we saw that a type can be a person. We saw that a type can be an office. We saw that it could be an institution. We saw that it could be represented as a place, as a place. In Leviticus chapter 23, in verse 5, it says, in the 14th day of the month, Leviticus 23:5, in the 14th day of the month, at even, is the Lord's what?
Passover.
The Lord's Passover. The Passover and the things of the Passover, okay, are a type that answers to the antitype. The antitype is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:7, for Christ our Passover is sacrifice, what?
For us.
Here we see that a type is represented as an event, the Passover, an event. The Passover was a type to point to the antitype, the answer, Jesus Christ, our Passover. So we saw that a biblical type can be a person, an event, an institution, a place, or an office in the redemptive history of the Old Testament that prefigures a corresponding but greater reality in the New Testament. We learned that biblical types are set forth from Scripture. We saw that biblical types are prophetic and they look forward to something that takes place in the future. Thus, a type is a copy, a pattern, or a model that signifies an even greater reality. The greater reality to which a type points and in which it finds its fulfillment is referred to as the antitype. Moses was a type, Jesus Christ the antitype. Passover was a type, Jesus Christ the antitype. Adam was a type, Jesus Christ was the antitype. So forth and so on. Then we saw some of these types that were represented in Scripture. Adam, Moses, the Passover, this sort of thing. Types fit into the category of figures, and they are closely aligned with similes and parables. There are many more examples of types and the antitype in the Bible. For instance, Aaron was a type of Christ. Aaron was the high priest. Jesus Christ, the antitype, was the fulfillment, the what? Greatest and high priest, right? David was a type of Christ. David was the type, the antitype Christ. David representing Christ as a shepherd. And he's called the great shepherd in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, right?
Yes.
David's appearance, though, as a type of Christ, also, remember how I taught you about Moses? Moses foreshadowed two types, maybe more, but that I'm talking about now. Moses foreshadowed a historical person that was compared to Jesus Christ, and Moses foreshadowed a historical office, that of a prophet, that foreshadowed, that pointed to the antitype, Jesus Christ. Okay? David, the same thing. David foreshadowed Christ as a shepherd. But get a load of this. David's appearance as a type of Christ also foreshadows the subsequent coming and return of Jesus Christ, or the antitype as a king, as a ruling king, right? And this is the antitype that we all look for and pray it comes soon in our lives, right? So that's a little bit about biblical types, and I wanted to share that with you tonight, because when this comes out, it's going to be entitled Pentecost 1 and 2. But before I could teach you what I want to teach you about Pentecost in the next segment of this, I had to set this for you so you could understand biblical types. This way you'll be able to understand what I want to share with you on Pentecost. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. We're grateful for you, how you continue to teach and love us. And thank you, Father, that your word is so accurate and so detailed and so minute, that you are just God of gods. And we thank you for that great antitype, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom all these prophecies were fulfilled, that he was the answer to all. And he is such a great Lord and our great Savior, and that we are privileged to be called his brethren. And it's in his precious name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.